unpopular.
Blog Talk Radio.
I used to be popular because I dare to ask some questions. What are you doing with your
there
time?
There comes a time when we heed a certain call. When the world must come together as one. There are people dying.
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it, we shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. But if physical death is the price that some must pay to free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators, but we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the council.
Until you manage the wealth-producing resources of your neighborhood or your nation, you are nothing.
Right.
When you are dependent on your former master or your former slave master for the safety pin that told your child die for the devil, you are nothing. To be a slave is not necessarily to be hungry.
Right.
A lot of people are hungry and they are not slaves.
Right.
To be a slave is not necessary to work hard.
Right.
A lot of people work hard and they are not slaves. To be a slave is not to be able to determine your own destiny.
All right.
Until you can close a door or close a community and say who goes here and on what time, you have no sovereignty and you have no true freedom.
All right.
Now, what have you done with your time since we retreated from the golden age of nationalism in the 19th century? Let's look at that golden age of 19th century. Why did we do so much when we had nothing, not even basic freedom? And why are we doing so now? Now we got all kinds of freedom. We get lost in it. We're killing each other. Where do we find all these guns? We don't make any of them. Where do we find all these dogs? We don't refine any of it. We don't own any of the equipment that takes the substance that makes it into dough. We don't control the borders that let it into the country. Why so easy to find? Because they control your mind, they control your body.
All
right. Give you the illusion. In the 19th century, we didn't think of ourselves as Caribbean people, African-American people, and African people. All of us were African people.
All right.
We didn't have our nose in the air thinking England was our motherland. You fool, how can your slave master's country be your motherland?
All right.
We didn't think that way. All of us knew that we had one motherland, and it was Africa. And we reached out to each other. We joined each other's freedom movement. We pastored in each other's church. We realized there's no solution until there's a solution for all of us. But the historical spot of our beginning was Africa.
Okay.
We come to the 20th century. We do not study enough history of other people to understand how they succeeded.
All right.
The Japanese were put in concentration camps in the Second World War. They came out of concentration camps. They got all their property back. They got money. They got reparations. Not one march, not one leaflet, not one fist in the air. And all you know is you ain't got nothing.
All right. There you go.
What did they do?
All right.
In the so-called Holocaust, Jews got billions of dollars, even the money to lay the basis for a piece of stolen property they called Israel. A land that never belonged to the Europeans.
Right.
It was homeland. Homeland for who? If God found anybody in homeland, they created the God that found them the homeland and don't even worship that God anymore. God gave them some land. God gave some other people some land according to their folklore.
All right.
Didn't give it to a European. The European claimed he belated and came converted to the faith because he didn't want to get in the war between the Christians and the Arabs. So he chose another option. He chose the tradition that went with it. He don't relate to Jacob and Isaac and all those people. He was happy in Europe. And they started kicking his butt. Then he said he wants a homeland. When they was financing Napoleon's army, Napoleon went, "You want Palestine, you can have it." He said, "Who wants to see a thing?" Now, why other people are successful while you fail? Because you love an essential ingredient.
All right.
An East Indian comes here with the concept of having come from a nation.
Right.
He has in his mind the formation of a geographical piece of land called a nation.
All right.
In this nation,
right,
he has judges, juries,
right,
counselors, good men, bad men.
Right.
Put it all together, it spells nation.
All right.
The concept of nation has been wiped from your mind. You don't know how Africans controlled nations before they took that out of your mind. You will not read your history. You read Europeans' interpretation of your history, which takes you out of history. Why did the Japanese succeed? Two atomic bombs, defeat in war. Now, the people who defeated them are begging them for commercial space in the world. What did the Japanese refuse to let people take away from them? The concept of nation in the concept of God as they conceive God to be.
All right.
You do not have an African concept of God, and you dare not think about one.
All right. All right.
You don't worship a single religion that has an African concept of God. Your Christian God, your Christian concept of religion was created at the conference in Nicaea 325 A.D. The Christ you worship was created a few hundred years later in Italy by Michelangelo, an artist with a gender problem. Now, who between the conference at Nicaea, 325 A.D., and the 1500s, when the Pope commissioned that picture to be painted, what did the people turn to for Jesus Christ? Nobody. Because they hadn't presented them to them. Because they get the whole Virgin Mary concept came out of Nicaea. Here they Europeanized the faith and gave it to you, and you bought their concept, not your concept. And yet that's a body of great literature done dealing with your concept that you will not read. John Jackson devoted most of his life telling you your side of the religious story. People make concepts to suit the mind they hope to control.
All right.
Do you think the Christians dare to live by Christianity, the white? Do you think the Arabs dare to live by Islam? He wants you to live by it. But the Arab is the bastard child of a bastard child. He's made from the waste matter of Europe and Western Asia. He's every part of everything he ever slept with. He was sleep with anything that's male and sometimes female and male. And you followed after him like a fool. Think he's got some ways to lead. You're misusing your energy. I just don't think you listen very well.
Right.
Farrakhan made a speech last year and told you that your eyebrows and your hair, texture on your head, supposed to be the same. And if it wasn't, then you was cursed by some mysterious God. Because there are black people in the world with curly hair and dark skin who are not cursed. And he couldn't hold out of the challenge. Nobody knows enough to challenge him except somebody like myself and Dr. Ben. Thank you. anytime you say God cursed anybody, you're a liar and a hypocrite because God do not curse. Which gets me into why we waste our energy, go off following people without asking the serious question, leader, where are you leading me?
All right. Thank you. All right.
Why don't we analyze? I have no problem with the Million Man March if they were marching for something. But we use the word atonement. What am I atoning for? What am I atoning? Let somebody atone to me.
All right.
We built the first society that blended the energy and the significance of man and woman.
Right.
And didn't put one over the other and accepted the woman as the life giver. We built the first society where women rode at the head of her army. The first society where the woman headed the state. The first society where the woman was a god. You going to leave her out of
right.
Are you out of your mind?
All
right. Hitler said that she's good for the bed, the kitchen, and the chat. Are you going down that route?
All right.
Who?
All right.
In Africa, she's not the king. She's the kingmaker.
All right.
You got to be one or the other. Have you ever studied the scripture of the Baptist church? Who do you think made deacons? Deacons don't make deacons. Deacons go home and consult their wives. And the deacon votes for who the wives tell him to vote for or get out of their house. Do you think men run churches all by themselves? If the women leave the Baptist church, they close the doors, sell the real estate. All of a sudden, we join a religion of the male chauvinist murder cult to start imitating some damn Arabs or leave the women at home, you know, to pray and take care of the children. Either she's going, it has no meaning. But if you're not going to collect anything, why go? If you're not going to ask for anything, why go? Let's look at the strategic plan. There's not enough extra space in Washington for a million men to take a peek. All right, for all the people you got in Washington, march a million men into Washington, suppose all of them went to urinate. Where are they going to go?
Right.
Hotel, where are they going to go? They got conventions in Washington all the time. The one lone black hotel sometimes gets to spill over on the weekend from the white hotel. And it's about to close because you don't get enough in the week business. How it ends. Most people otherwise don't stay there anyway. Now, say we're going to atone. What are we atoning for? Nobody atoned for us. The oppressor doesn't atone. You built the whole society on your blood, your sweat. The Japanese didn't march, they collected. The Jews didn't march, they collected. They came from a concept called the state. Once you take that concept out of your mind, you are dependent on other people. That East Indian, he can look back at Big Bad India, the second most populated country in the world. The Chinese can look back at China, the most populated country in the world. When you look back at Apple, you don't know what to look back at. You look back at Apple, I don't belong over there. Then the miseducated African say, you don't belong over here, because the concept of state has been wiped from his mind. The educated African don't know what kind of state existed in Africa before the Europeans. I don't mind marching. I've been in a whole lot of marches in my life. Everything of significance in the fight for black liberation for the last 60 years in New York City, I've been a part of it. Left and right. March with the communists, march with the socialists, march with anybody that I believe in. But what is the march for? With slavery in Mauritania, in the Sudan, nobody is willing to march on a single Arab embassy. The Arabs now kill black men, take their women, make them work in the field all day, and use them sexually at night. The Arabs are vicious in the sexual exploitation of black women. So what you getting so dual-eyed over them for?
Right.
You have to create the religion that turned on you. You should reconceptualize it based on your need and not give a damn whether anybody lacks it or not. It is so your purpose. I didn't say leave any of it. I said, make it over to suit your needs.
Right.
Don't care
for
the people like it. One of the great flaws in the left movement that Russia says that they are officially an atheist nation. What fool would have such a little knowledge of people that they would declare themselves an atheist nation? Now, I hold all forms of organized religion and condemn. And yet I'm so spiritual, I won't even step on a cockroach. I love life so much.
Right.
I don't think it was necessary to organize religion.
Right.
They were better before you organized them. You put one against the other. I know there's a force in the universe larger than me.
Right.
I know I can't make the rain. I can't make a single flower, a petal of a rose.
Right.
I can't bring back the spring or the winter. I know there's something there that I have to be beholden to.
All right.
If you call it God, that's your privilege.
All right.
I choose to respect it.
All right.
Without necessarily calling it anything. In living in Africa, among the God people, I became a believer in their faith, a belief system. They think God comes, only they don't use the word God, comes out of a body of fresh, lives in a body of fresh water, and that he renews his strength by each hour. And in difficulty, they go by a body of fresh water. That makes just as much sense to me as you praying to some God in the sky that you never saw.
All right.
All right. But we look at their lives, their individual lives, when they spell it out. But I went to the first wave. But everybody is a part of everything. When each time the widow moans, women of her age group moans with her. When they dance out to the life of the deceased. And at the funeral, they walk through the neighborhood with big sheets, people throwing money on the sheets. All this is collected, given to the elders, and she spends 6 weeks at the home of the elders. She comes home, and now I knew where the custom came from. They've taken all the furniture out of the house, washed everything, not moved out of the house. They've taken care of the children during her absence. They give her new clothes. She must never wear any clothes she wore while her husband was alive. And they're singing, as long as there's clothes among your people, you have clothes. They present great bodies of food, types of food. Each lady was a separate dish. One of these. She had to taste each one. As long as there's food among your people, you have food. I said, this is social security built into a society. How dare you call these people uncivilized? Nobody's going to a relief funeral. You're going to all the people. She's not getting out of her house. She's not evicted. Cousin, uncle, all together. Make sure she's taken care of. So many uncles take care of school fees for the children. So many of them back. And the brother that's left is responsible for locating her a new husband by taking her into his household as one of his wives. I don't care how this sounds to you, but at least you got one. You haven't got one. The society has made provisions for her never to be alone. Now you can understand why there was no prostitution in these societies until the foreigners came. When you obey the custom that you made, when you didn't have a word for jail, when you took care of these things within the structure of the family, but you became addicted to foreign concepts. And you lost the most important thing a people must have, the concept of the state.
All right.
And when you lose the physical state, you must never lose the mental state that you carry in your mind.
All right.
And when they take you away from the physical state, you can recreate the state away from home. What are the East Indians doing building stores in your neighborhood? They're doing what you're supposed to do. They're building the structure of the state. They're building in your neighborhood because they can get away with building in your neighborhood because you are not doing it. There's an opportunity here that you're not taking advantage of. You are not understanding the nature of your own culture. Now let's deal with that other march. and something that went unnoticed. The Eastern Parkway March that they've been trying to kill for years.
Right.
They don't want it serious.
All right.
They moved the island, you've been to Harlem lately. They moved that island out of the middle of Lenox Avenue. They want to make Lenox Avenue broad enough for that, then they're going to suggest, why not have it in Harlem, where it started. Lenox Avenue still is not broad, even with the island gone, not broad enough for that march.
Right.
And it shouldn't be that anyway. They don't want you to celebrate culture if indeed that's what you are doing. Because if you understand Caribbean culture, a few people do, Caribbean culture is not sexual gyration down the street. Caribbean culture is heroic and beautiful. It's a long struggle. If they told, if they did, you had a parade with emphasis on true Caribbean culture, the parade would last 1 year, and that would be the end of it. Because you would tell a struggle, you would tell a Batista boat, you would tell a Kojo. You tell a Kojo sister, Granny Nanny. You tell a Mary Seacole, who came ahead of Florence Nightingale. You have a float for her. You would tell of the revolt that followed the facsimile, emancipation, because emancipation in the Caribbean island was a fraud and a fakery. By the time they got boasting about the fraud and the faithful, they awakened to discover that, hell, they were still slaves. They were still on the same plantation. Now they had to take care of the clothing, the housing. They still had to work for a pittance. There was no other place to work. But the Caribbean free man called their attention to this. Is set in motion, especially in Jamaica, the Marat Bay Revolt 1865. In the beginning of the emancipation was 30 years before. So what were they fighting for in 1865? They fighting for the fact that they realized the emancipation was a fraud. God, look at all the great culture you have. And one of the main reasons that culture succeeded in being the basis of the revolt, and why the revolt was so successful, they had an African culture continuity.
All right.
Because they didn't break them up as it ruthless they broke us up here in the United States. They didn't outlaw the drum. As ruthless they outlawed me,
right.
Our drum. They didn't outlaw the African language. They could speak to each other in a manner that their master could not understand. He said, oh, that's a Jewish, you know. It wasn't Jewish. African language.
Right.
But too funny, a lower Joe who needs re-evaluation because if it's today he'd be a middle class cover. Jesse Lane was the real hero of the Haitian Revolution. But after they kidnapped Toussaint, a man who was too wise for his day, Christophe, went to see Napoleon's cousin, Leclerc. Toussaint was naive enough to go with one coachman. He got kidnapped. streetwise Christophe marched a company of soldiers in Leclerc's living room, surrounding him on every side. He marched up to the Frenchman and said, "Monsieur Leclerc, what do you want?" He said, "Surrender the island." He spoke to Leclerc's servant in an African language. The servant was a captain in the Haitian army and a spy in Leclerc's household. He gave the spy an order. Give the order, burn Cape Haitian. Burn the city down. He started to burn, and the French started retreating to the hills. In the Africans, they beat those African drums. Each time they come close to the drum would retreat. These Frenchmen went stark, raving mad without firing a shot. African culture defeated them.
All right.
You can't use it unless you can preserve it.
All right.
So when you come to Eastern Parkway, what you are seeing is a grand and colorful show. But not Caribbean culture. You're seeing a great Caribbean show. It was about Caribbean culture. It would be about Granny Nanny. They tell so many lies about Granny Nanny, it's hard to get to the truth. They said people shoot a bullet at her, and she would turn against the bullet, and the wind from her behind would throw the bullet right back in the face of the shooter and kill her. But she was a great savage, far better than her brother Kojo. I wonder if we'd have a float celebrating that.
All right. All right.
Of the great male rebels, Manson, Taxi, to retreat from the hills, different revolts on other islands. Oh, they were most numerous on the island of Jamaica and more numerous than Haiti. Haiti fought a short period and won independence. Jamaica fought a long period and didn't. Circumstances simply wasn't conducive. Napoleon sent that fresh raid army to Haiti a little too late. And besides, those Haitian generals outsmarted them. Them dogs. Deschelaine said that before it's all over, I'll make them eat those dogs. He surrounded the French army, deprived them of food and supplies, till in the final analysis, they were eating those dogs.
All right.
That's time. We'll have a Caribbean parade. That has to be part of it.
All right.
Sexual gyration is a private thing between you and your private mate with the room closed.
All right.
Has no business in a parade at all.
Right.
In this last parade, whose grand marshal was a Mediterranean mulatto passing for white.
All right.
If you think the Italians are white, think again.
All right.
You forgot to notice something on that screen. At the bottom of the screen, there was a sign saying, all rights reserved. So that means if you wanted to video and sell your own culture, you have to have that permission. They've copyrighted it now. Imitation though it is, it no longer belongs to you. They wanted half of the money from the vendors.
Right.
And the heads of the parade gave them the money.
Right.
It's not yours anymore.
Thank you.
It's a money-making scheme for the city.
All right.
The Jews are not going to stop until they get it off Eastern Parkway, period.
All right. All right.
What am I trying to say to you at a critical time in your history when we look at all the nations in the Caribbean islands, we look at the Civil Rights Movement, the Caribbean Independence Movement, the African Independence Explosion, and you do not see one single African-oriented nation in all the world because all of them are imitation European states. Ruled by people with African bodies and European minds. Where do we go from here? Who do we follow?
Right.
People are hurt because I said, instead of marching, why can't we stay home, save the money, and buy up our community?
All right.
Is it going to cost $40 bus fare, $20 food at $60, add $60 1 million times, you got more money than the gross national income of Canada.
All right.
You got more money than the income of most of the nations of the world.
All right.
We can buy a supermarket for every major black community in this country.
Right.
We can buy the farmland to raise all the peas we want for the cans we want to put them in. We can drive Camel out of the soup business.
Okay.
Using our own vegetables. We can employ at least one third of all the blacks in the United States. We're going to trust each other. We can have a banking system. A banking system, the rival of that of most of the nations in the world. A credit union system. We should never go in the store and buying things a dollar down, a dollar later. Let the credit union buy it, you pay the credit union. If you're going to pay cash, you can bargain. And the credit union will say, you can get less percentage that way. The main reason we have not organized ourselves, because we've lost that concept of nation, and we do not trust each other. We do not trust each other because we listen to our enemies interpreting us. I have been invited to the 50th anniversary of the 5th Pan-African Congress in Manchester, England. out of the fifth Pan-African Congress called by Nkrumah, Padmore, Amy Ashwood, Garvey, Peter Abrams, Deacon Nigeria, John Stone Kenyatta, later Jomo Kenyatta, came the concept of African independence, African states. Why were these states destroyed? Because the Western world decided they would never let the Africans have the wealth of Africa.
All right.
Why did they let Nelson Mandela superficially come to power? Because they knew Nelson Mandela would not do the most essential thing to come into power, is ask for the restoration of the land.
All right.
Land is the basis of nation.
Right.
When he came to power, whites owned 87% of the land. They still own 87% of the land.
Right.
Nelson Mandela do not control his chauffeur.
Right.
Now you know why you had to get rid of Winnie Mandela.
All right.
He's a national. He did more good in jail. Because in jail we had the illusion that he was a revolutionary. He came out and proved he was never a revolutionist at all. No revolution come out of jail, become president of a country, and demand nothing. Black children are still being stoned for trying to get into previously all-white schools, all-white neighborhoods. Black Americans are going to South Africa and going into business with white people, who they don't even know what's happening. Reverend Sullivan and his group, they are about pan-capitalism, not pan-Africanism. They're the servants of the corporation. The corporations got their seed money from the slave trade.
All right.
You can expect them to participate in African liberation. One of the main reasons I'm being invited to come to Manchester, England to address the anniversary meeting of the Pan-African Congress, that is an integrationalist group. Now, everybody wants to help Africans. Germans are in there. Dutch are in there. So when they become Pan-Africanists, the Dutch say that they are ordained by God to rule over the lesser breed. How did they get in there? So the black group asked me to come to address the situation of Africa for the Africans. These whites went there and tell the Africans, you have to share.
All
the African has to do is say, I will share with you in Africa only to the extent you're willing to share with me in Europe. Land I will never share, because land is sacred as my mother's womb. You do not share land. They're not going to make any more land. We have lost millions of acres of land because a lot of people in the north could have sent money south to pay the taxes, and they hadn't done it.
Right.
The older people had to lose the land because they couldn't keep it up.
Okay.
Couldn't keep up the taxes. We had land we could have kept. Because we did not understand the significance of land, because the significance of land is concurrent with the significance of nation. We not only must listen, we must analyze. Samson Williams and his destruction of black civilization laid out a basic plan for the world movement of African people. Most people never read it. Chick Anzatiok, in his book, Africa, the Politics of a Federated State, showed you that the river bottoms of Africa can grow enough food for all Africa and one-third of the world. He raised the question, why is Africa buying anything from people outside? Last time I was in Barbados, I went to a reception . What were we eating? Sardines from Nova Scotia. I go to the ocean, just stand there. The flying fish is jumping up, almost begging you to catch it free of charge. Please catch me and eat me. I want to be useful to somebody. Good white red snapper, right off the show. Great varieties of fish. All you have to get in your boat, go ahead and get it. And you have sardines from Nova Scotia. The British strain you can eat, but the British want to say. Big cement house, 18 inches thick. What in the hell is a comet like that? Same thing is true in Ghana. First year I was there, they imported $14 million worth of canned fish. You got tuna. Right outside of, in the ocean. I was out fishing and the guy catch the fish and threw it back. I said, why do you keep throwing this fish back? It's that tuna. I said, oh, tuna, all right. We don't like tuna. Now the Japanese and everybody out there taking that tuna, making a fortune. Some of them don't like tuna. If you take a fresh piece of tuna you never seen a can, marinate him, put a good sauce on it, you got some good tasting fish. Because the sister lay her righteous hand on a piece of food sometimes, you don't know what she put on it. All you know is you can't stop eating it. He turns around to the left and to the right, little dash of this, little dash of that. She can't even tell you what she did. All she knows, it comes out right. We've forgotten our tradition. We've forgotten how we built the state. We've forgotten how to listen. Had we listened to the speech Farrakhan made at the Apollo, listen to this. Same Farrakhan speech he made in the mosque. The difference, we know two speeches. And what was this thing raising the fund for Fetty about? Trying to cover up the fact inspired concretely help to create the atmosphere and the attitude that led to the assassination of Malcolm X.
Right. He's
trying to get himself off the hook.
Right.
And listen to his speech at Abyssinia Baptist Church. People think it must be the worst thing in the world that you would dare call Farrakhan a con man. And I did call Farrakhan a con man because I think he's one of the most unique con men of the 20th century.
Right.
I didn't say he was dumb.
Right.
He is smart. He is clever. He is good.
Right.
And he is still a con man.
All right.
If he bangs off this march, he's going to say your only salvation is to become a Muslim.
Right.
And yet he would not criticize a single Arab.
All right.
He hadn't even explained to you what happened to the $5 million he got from Libya.
All right.
Leadership is accountability.
All right.
Well. If you cannot be accountable to the people, you've got no business leading the people. We're going to fall into another Arab trick, make the Arabs strong enough to take all Africa. Now, this might be hard on your imagination. But can you imagine an Africa without Africans? Because whites and Asians and Arabs will take over Africa and push Africans out of it. And they will do it with the help of blacks.
All right.
Some converted to Islam. If we're going to survive on this earth, we must realize before there's nation time, you're going to have to be some serious thinking time.
All right.
Time to analyze what's happening to us. Time to ask the questions. Why don't we control at least in real estate in our community? We could have. If you open a store in Chinatown, you wouldn't get one customer. Why do they get so many customers in our neighborhood?
There's a little song that we sing in our movement down in the South. I don't know if you've heard it, but it has become the theme song. We shall overcome. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. Though I join hands so often with students and others behind jail bars singing it. We shall overcome. Sometimes we've had tears in our eyes when we joined together to sing it, but we still decided to sing it. We shall overcome. No, before this victory is won, some will have to get thrown in jail some more, but we shall overcome. Don't worry about us. Before the victory is won, some of us will lose jobs, but we shall overcome. Before the victory is won, even some will have to face physical death. Physical death is the price that some must pay. To free their children from a permanent psychological death, then nothing shall be more redemptive. We shall overcome. Before the victory is won, some will be misunderstood and called bad names and dismissed as rabble-rousers and agitators. But we shall overcome. And I'll tell you why. We shall overcome because the arc of the moral universe is long, but it bends toward justice. We shall overcome because Carlyle is right. No lie can live forever. We shall overcome because William Cullen Bryant is right. Truth crushed to earth will rise again. We shall overcome because James Russell Lowell is right. Truth forever on the scaffold, wrong forever on the throne. Yet that scaffold sways the future. Behind the dim unknown standeth God within the shadow, keeping watch above his own. We shall overcome because the Bible is right. You shall reap what you sow. We shall overcome. Deep in my heart, I do believe we shall overcome. And with this faith, we will go out and adjourn the councils of despair and bring new light into the dark chambers of pessimism. And we will be able to rise from the fatigue of despair to the buoyancy of hope. And this will be a great America. We will be the participants in making it so. And so as I leave you this evening, I say,